We extend Christian greetings to each one. I can say that I was richly blessed this morning already and admonished in the devotional and also in thoughts that were shared in the Sunday school. To be honest, I feel very inadequate for the message that I felt led to share. So I do covet an interest in your prayers as we go through this. I would also like to, I hope and I trust that each one of us can receive a special blessing from God as we go through this message. Not because I'm standing here, not only allow the words that I speak to you to sink into your ears, but also allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. He knows way better than anyone else what the needs of your heart are. And I trust that you can receive a special blessing if you open your heart and allow God to minister to the needs that you have by His Holy Spirit. The message that I thought I would share on today is the two ways and where they lead. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. There's an account here that I would like to read. Matthew 7, verse 13 through 23. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What a sad statement there, should we have to hear those words and the finality of them. But Jesus here, he's talking about two ways. Talks about a narrow way and a broad way. And first, I would like to elaborate on the broad way. What do you have to do to get onto the broad way? At what point in your life do you enter the broad way? We are all born with a sinful carnal nature. Have you ever been traveling and you wanted to get this certain road and you're watching for it, but then all you have to do is just stay right on the road you're on and you automatically get into it? I kind of think that's kind of how it is to get on the broad way. You really don't have to do anything to be on it. And entering into the gate, I wonder if that happens when you come to the age of accountability. Age will vary with each one maybe a little bit. But the broad way is a wide way. Anything goes. And you really don't have to make much of any choices to be on it. You automatically get onto it. You know, in our looking at the carnal nature that we are born with, it automatically comes thoughts to lie to get ahead or to steal to get ahead, or, you know, you don't have to teach anyone to do those things. It comes automatically. But if you have parents who have taught you right from wrong, they will have taught you that it's wrong to cheat, it's wrong to lie, wrong to steal. Those are all things that are contrary to what the carnal nature wants to do. We also have natural tendencies to disrespect, to dishonor, whether it's our parents, whether it's the church. Those are all things that are found with people who are on the broad way. It comes automatically. I would like to turn to an account in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus gives an account here of a wedding. A wedding feast. And there was a man who showed up at the wedding that did not have a wedding garment on. Matthew 22, I'd like to read verse 11 to 14. It says, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." What was this wedding garment this man did not have on? This man was walking on the broad way, but I'm inclined to think that this man had many opportunities to enter in at the straight gate, to accept Jesus Christ into his life, to become his Lord and Savior. You see, the wedding garment that we all need to have put on is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we do that as we accept him as our Savior and make him Lord of our lives. This man, for him, it was forever too late. I would also like to look at an account in Luke, chapter 16. Verse 19 through 31, account of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, starting in verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I do not know how it was for this rich man, but I do remember when we were in Mexico, if you walked along the street, there was fencing along the street. And to go to a man's house, you had to go through a gate. And sometimes people would, along the streets, they would set up a lot of different wares to sell or to trade or to barter. And people would be walking along there. And in my mind, I think maybe it was something similar to that. But according to this account, I figure someone probably brought this poor Lazarus over there. And he was probably, I don't know, was he laying on the roadway? Or was he laying on a mat? But he was there and he had a lot of sores. And this rich man would come walking by. And maybe this poor man Lazarus was right beside the gate that went in where this rich man's house was. And I wonder if this rich man walking by to go through his gate, maybe Lazarus reached out and tugged him a little bit. And help me, please help me. And this rich man, you know, why did you touch me? Keep your dirty hands off of me. And this poor man, he just pleaded with him, you know, could I just have some of the crumbs that fall from your table? The rich man had no time for that. I picture a man going into his house with tables that are laden with food. Everybody had plenty to eat. I'm made to think of something that happened yesterday. Yesterday, Polly and I were in town, and we had done some grocery shopping. And then we still stopped at Perkins Drugs, and I went in to fill some prescriptions that we had. And while she was waiting out in the van, somebody tapped on her window. She looked up, and here there was a black man. Asked her, commented on it being a nice day, and then he asked her if she had a couple dollars for him to buy a sandwich. And she said, I'm sorry, but I don't have any cash on me. And it just so happened she did not at that time. And he was okay with that, but as he walked away, she could tell he was very skinny. It looked like he hadn't eaten maybe in several days. And it kind of bothered her a little bit. And she commented about it when I came back out into the van. And she said she knows what she can do. She's going to get some groceries out. And it just so happened that he started coming up the street again. And she got out of the van and gave him two apples and a bag of pretzels. And as he walked on down the street, he was eating on an apple. And I was blessed with that. But anyhow, I don't know if this man might have told this rich man, he said, you know, I haven't eaten in several days. But this rich man had no time for the poor man. He was on the Broadway. He was on the Broadway. I'd like to look at a different account in Matthew chapter 25. Start reading in verse 30. It's coming out of the account of the talents, the man that had tried to bury his talent. And Jesus said that it will be said, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I'd like to go ahead and read this account. It says, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." I'd like to flip the page. And go over and start reading again in verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." What a sad case. These people thought they were serving him. Jesus gives another account in Matthew 13, verse 41 to 43. This is about people who are traveling on the broad way. Matthew 13, verse 41 to 43. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." The destination for those who travel on the broad way is hell. Hell is a four-letter word that some people use in cussing, and I think they have no idea what they're saying. But there are some facts about hell that are very real. Number one, it is eternal. Revelations 14, verse 11 says, "The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night." Number two, hell was originally designed for Satan and his demons. Matthew 25, 41, we read that. Number three, hell will also punish the sin of those who reject Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. I would now like to read an account in Revelations chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. This is an account where John in the Spirit, there's revelations of John. Revelations 20, verse 11 to 15. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelations 21, verse 8, talks about people who will be cast into hell. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is also, number four, is conscious torment. Note the account that we read of the rich man and Lazarus, and also of other accounts that were read about there being weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever experienced something that was so painful that you had to grit your teeth together to be able to take it? Talks here about gnashing of teeth. And guess what? This is forever. There's no let up. Not ever. If you are a person who dies without Christ as your Lord and Savior, the life that you experience in the here and now is the best you will ever have. If you happen to grow up in a Christian home, you could have been enjoying sunshine, a refreshing summer shower, a fresh blanket of snow, birds that are singing, flowers, butterflies, green grass. You can rest when you're tired. If you grew up in a Christian home, you might have even felt being loved, experienced being cared for, and even enjoyed fellowship with people. But in hell, there's none of that. What you experience in this life will be the best you've ever got if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior and make Him Lord of your life. If we end up in hell, all is forever lost. No other chance. And that is why God gave us the Bible. It is our roadmap to heaven. Jesus talked about the rich man and how Abraham communicated with him that his brothers have Moses and the prophets. We also have Moses and the prophets, and we have more than that. We have the teachings of Jesus Christ and his apostles. I'd like to go back briefly to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now let's note verse 14, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. How do we get on the narrow way? I'm made to think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John chapter 3, starting in verse 3 through verse 8, Jesus is talking here to Nicodemus. He was a leader in Israel who came to see Jesus by night. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Let's take note where it says here about ye must be born again. Let's go to John chapter 10. Verse 1. Jesus talking again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Let's drop down to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I would also like to go to John chapter 4. Verse 10, he's talking to the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Let's drop down to verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now I'd like to look at verse 23 and 4. Jesus continuing dialogue here. He says, But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I would like to take note here that Jesus said you must be born again. And that happens when you allow his spirit to communicate to your spirit, and you are made aware of your lost condition without Jesus Christ. And he comes in and he takes your sin away. And oh, the light feeling that you can experience when that happens. To know that your sins are forgiven and that he has saved you. That is something that people who never enter into the narrow way, they never experience that. And then when you experience that, God is a spirit like we just read. And they that worship him must worship him in the Spirit. And it's a continual dialogue in our Christian walk of life as we communicate with God in the Spirit. And we also have his word to go by. I'd like to turn back to Matthew 25 again. Start reading in verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What a blessing, and what a relief, and what a happy experience to hear him tell us those words. Just as it's devastating to hear the opposite, it's also uplifting to hear these words. Now I'd like to turn to Revelations chapter 21. Talking about heaven, descriptions thereof. I'd like to read verse 1 through 7, chapter 21 of Revelations. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Drop down to verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It goes on and gives quite a bit of description there, but I'd like to turn over to verse 23. It says, And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'd like to keep reading here the first five verses of chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. If we think of heaven, Heaven is a place that is more beautiful, and it's going to be more than what we can ever imagine or comprehend. I don't think there are words in the human vocabulary that can describe it. I would like for us to all stand and sing song number 951 with these thoughts in mind. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. By and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer the tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. By and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Thank you for that. You may be seated.
I hope and trust that we have been encouraged. That is really something that we do good to keep in view, that we have a city that has foundation, who was built by God Himself. Jesus said in John 14 that I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.